Well, hello everyone. It's Paul Hopkins and
Cher
Randall. Something very bad's happening in my recording. There it is. I think. Okay. We're working now. Yeah, we're here at Dean's Diner.
Again.
It's really bad level. Levels control is bad. I think it's because I've got light going on. The automatic going on. And there's lots of background noise and it's playing with the levels a bit, but we'll go with it. What are we talking about today, hon?
Why we are back at Dean's Diner.
Why are we back at Dean's Diner?
Well, we were supposed to pick up Nathan at 2:30.
Yeah.
But due to flight delays and strikes and whatnot else,
they're
delayed.
Yeah.
So I've had to come and kill some time while I wait to be told what time they're landed and what time I can pick them up.
Yeah.
That.
And so we thought we'd do a boo about that. We just waited for him to come, and I'm deliberately sound effects, you know.
The music is hideous.
Music is hideous. Should have heard.
I'd love to know why. No wonder they all did drugs. It was to get.
Yeah.
In the 60s.
Yeah, ecstasy did them very well. I wanted to talk about. I just played a little bit of Gregory Porter there and Freedom. I tried to find a thing about a dog. A song about dogs, like Hound
How
Dog.
How much is that dog in the window? Yeah.
I'm without Usher today. We left him at home because
at
we figured...
At the mercy of Tiggy the cat.
Yeah. We figured that we might have to... Well, probably we'll get a taxi. And the idea of getting two dogs...
Have we talked about Tiggy the cat?
No. We got a cat from
Battersea.
Rescue. Battersea.
That was kind of Nathan's cat, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
I wanted kittens.
And we kind of agreed on...
Kittens. And then we went to Battersea, me and Nathan, just for a laugh, really. And then there was a little cat there that took a liking to him, and she came home with us.
The rest is history,
yeah.
As they say. So yeah, we have Tiggy, and she's lovely. She doesn't care much for me, I don't think. She kind of doesn't need us, but that's cats all over, isn't it?
Mm.
When you've had a really fussy dog like Usher, you know, you get spoiled a bit, really. I think dog psychology is just different. Dogs still have an agenda, but cats are just more upfront about it.
But you've come out without your name, without your Usher.
Without what?
You've come out.
Without Usher?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird because I was saying to Claire, it would be interesting to just talk about this a little bit, but not from from a VI person's perspective, in the sense that we're visually impaired, but we've had these discussions about dog or cane and what the differences are within visually impairment circles. But more interesting to talk about it from maybe people that don't know, that wouldn't normally listen to that kind of thing, that might be following me, that would find it interesting, that I've used a cane for 30 years and I had to get used to a different technique using a dog, such as not having to use my eyesight, which I have very little of, actually. But I was still trying to use it and it was useless, really. And to learn that was one of the first things, to actually learn, actually, Paul, your eyesight isn't even that good. And I was actually saying to guide dogs when I first was looking at applying for one, I don't think I deserve one because I've got too much sight. And they went, Paul, you really don't have too much sight. Your sight's rubbish.
Yeah.
Which is blunt, but necessary. And I don't, you know, that was absolutely fine for them to say that. And now I've got used to not using a cane and not having to use the eyesight that was always deceiving me anyway in terms of what I could and couldn't see. And so I've come out today
without Usher because we'll probably get a cab home from picking up Nathan.
And they won't take two dogs.
So. Well, it's finding a cab, that, especially at that time of night.
Yeah.
Evening, because it's likely to be about half four by the time we go and pick him up. So, yeah.
So Usher, some of the things I found, for example, with Usher, I can almost be a passenger in terms of my eyesight. It's almost like sitting in the car and you're not the driver. Of course, you know it's slightly different in that you're still piloting the dog, but it's a teamwork thing, and you don't get that with your cane. Doesn't matter what technology they employ with a white cane, you don't get the interaction you do with the dog. And so when I was using my cane just now, I suddenly found that, well, if I see a lamppost and I think I'm going to hit it, I'm the one who has to move. You know, I'm not. It's Usher's. Usher would take care of that normally, but actually remembering that with a cane, you're you're almost feeling around for things to find, not to bump into. So you're constantly like trying to create a way forward for yourself. And I watched you at one point where you were Ben was taking you around an A board, and I thought he can't get through, or I thought I wouldn't be able to get through there. Like, why is he taking you that way? And yet, when I followed him, it was exactly the right way to go. Whereas I would have looked to the left of that A board and thought, oh no, there's a lamppost there, I won't be able to get through. And so then I would have been feeling around the A board, trying to get my way around it, and then working out a way forward.
Yeah.
And a dog takes care of all that for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about whether people are going to move out of your way, because a dog takes care of that as well. The dog will create you a pathway.
Yeah.
And if someone's standing there talking, he wouldn't expect them to move. He'll just move around them. And with me, I would probably get entangled with the people.
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating. When I'm walking, I've got the cane in my right hand and nothing in my left hand, and so my hand's kind of thinking, where's that life on the end of my arm? You know, where on the end of my hand? Where's that living, sentient being? You know, that's not there anymore. And he's at home. Just that. Not wanting to dwell on it, but just observations.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say? You've used a dog all your life, though, don't you?
So. Yes, I've had a dog for 20 years this September. So I have had very little in terms of not having a dog. And when I don't... You see, when they give you a dog, when you first train your first dog, they say to you, oh, you must keep your training at cane training up to date. And you kind of go, Yeah, of course I will. And then you shove the cane in the cupboard, never to see the light of day.
Yeah.
And the truth is that if you then have to get it out, and I think my first dog was 8 when she fell ill, and I hadn't used a cane for 6 years.
Yeah.
And suddenly I had to. In fact, she might have been 9 even. And I had to suddenly navigate, not only with a cane that I hadn't used for the last 7 years, but a toddler as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so from that perspective, my cane skills are nowhere near up to date, if you will.
Yeah.
And yet, when earlier this year, Ben had an eye operation, and so he was out of work for just over a week.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a comfortable experience for me.
Yeah.
I certainly wasn't running in and out of London doing things. And I remember thinking, because I went on a speaker training course, thinking, oh, bloody hell, I'm going to have to make it all the way to the venue without a dog.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he was cleared to work 2 days before. So.
No, it's okay. It's me. I'll just turn the microphone.
No, I just hiccuped.
That's okay.
He was cleared to work 2 days before, so I was very grateful that I didn't have to wander off into London on my own.
Yeah.
Because I don't do relying on people very well. I'm not.
And a dog takes that away. I mean, it's very. And I found this. I've had to ask people a lot less for things. And actually, far from not using my eyesight at all, I should probably qualify this a bit more. I actually find that I can actually look for things a little bit better, because I know what's just going to keep me straight and on the straight and narrow. So I can actually look to the side and see if I can see signposts, or I can concentrate on using, you know, like sat-nav type stuff, you know, where you've got an earphone in you, one earpiece on, and, you know, you can do that a lot more effectively with a dog, I think. Which I always thought a dog would impede me, because obviously it's a dog, you've got to look after it. Not so much that, but the fact that it's a big... You and a dog is a footprint, you know, it's a lot much of a bigger thing. It's not just walking around with a cane and being inconspicuous. And you feel less squashed in with a dog. Like, I notice when I have a cane, when you use a cane, people don't give you half as much room. Maybe the difference between being a car and you know, a cyclist... almost, or a motorbike, people don't give you the room, do they?
Yeah.
Whereas with a dog, they do. And all the social interaction that you get, some of it isn't really wanted sometimes if you're busy and people keep cooing at the dog, but in the main, you know, the social side of it's been really good as well. So just some thoughts, really, for Audio Boom Day.
Does that mean I can have a puppy?
No, because they're useless. They sit there and whine and wee themselves, and they only have puppy breath for a few weeks, and it goes. It tastes like sugar puffs. Puppy breath does.
Yeah,
don't
they're think? Cute and cuddly.
Yeah, but
they're a little puppy. Like
then if you had a bonsai version of a dog,
a bonsai dog, like a bonsai, miniature Labrador.
Yeah. With a bonsai Ben or a bonsai Usher, then maybe.
That's something I'm quite, like, my auntie's got, so I'm in two minds because you have these, like, crossbreed dogs, don't they?
Yeah.
Cockapoos and Labradoodles and Cavachons and the like. And actually, they're very cute, but they aren't researched enough and people are generally in it for the money, so it's dubious at best. And but I fancy my auntie's got a Cavapoo, a Cavachon, which is a cross between a Cavalier King Charles and a Bichon Frise, and she's very cute.
Yeah.
And these people bought her from some breeder or other.
Yeah.
And they couldn't cope with her because the bloke bought her because he'd been medically retired from work and he thought, oh, you'd have a little dog, you know, to keep him busy.
Yeah.
But actually he's too ill to be able to cope with her demands because she's very lively.
Yeah, nice though.
She is, she's very cute. So, but then I kind of do this whole idea of, in a theoretical term, I fancy the idea of having a dog and training it and it being like Timmy off the Famous Five, you know, it would obey me and
be,
I'm not talking about a guide dog, but just a dog.
A dog
in general.
My brother's done it with his, I think.
To do things.
Yeah.
That's the theory. In practice, I think I would get bored of it disobeying me after about a week.
Yeah, yeah. I would.
And so.
I like dogs that do as they're told.
Yeah.
So, another quick story before I go, just as an aside, but same sort of idea. Someone at work, so lots of blind people at work, and there were two black Labradors in the run in the little garden where they run around and have a wee and do whatever, and it was my dog and the buddy dog for the college.
They've just landed.
Oh, cool. Okay, we can start thinking
about it. I'll tweet them back.
So basically the story was that he took Usher by accident, and so suddenly I was left with this dog that kind of looked like Usher, but immediately I knew he wasn't. And he wouldn't do anything I asked him to. And he was hiding in the corner. And then he started whimpering. Because he realised, Shadow this was. Yeah. Realised he was on his own, like with someone he didn't know. And I thought, shoot, where's Usher gone? And given that Shadow has a timetable in the college, so he could have been anywhere within the 13-acre campus at that point, except for the fact that it wouldn't have been Shadow, it would have been Usher. And so I had to quickly take him to where I knew this guy would most likely to have gone. Unfortunately, I was right, and I found him with Usher, and I said, you've got the wrong dog. And I was thinking, at what point was it? But being with a dog that isn't obedient to you, that's why I tell that story.
Yeah.
It was weird. When you used to, I mean, even at worst, our dogs are pretty obedient.
Yeah.
So, that really.
I don't know, you're obedient, Benji dog.
Yeah. Ben's there, so we're going to go and go now.
Well,
and
I haven't, they've just landed.
Oh yeah, so it won't be a bit, so it won't be for a while. But we'll go for now. I'll put this music on. It's Gregory Porter with Free from the album Liquid Spirit. He's actually got a new album out now, but I will speak to you all soon, and you can hear a bit of this before I go. Bye for now. Bye bye.
'Wanna be free, gotta be free, wanna be free, gotta be free. Knew she can make it right, working late every night. Got to make money to put food on the table, and daddy had to do the same. He knew he had to do his part, so none of his children would get caught up in the game. So I'd be young and free. Daddy made a way for me. He paved the road so my burden is lighter. And mama did just the same, dropping love just like rain. She said, guard your heart, for from it come the issues of life. Free, free, free. To do well in school, obey that golden rule. Treat another man like you want to be treated. Share with your brother, man, if he needed giving him a hand. For in the end, you might just need him. So I'd be young and free. Daddy made a way for me. paved the road, so my burden is light. And mama did just the same, dropping love just like rain. She said, guard your heart, but from it come the issues.